Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. Listen to that music, Scott, as it fades.
It's like Darth Vader's in the house or something.
Kind of is. You hear that laugh? Did you just hear that laugh in the background?
It was
a little
spooky.
Bit? Yes.
Villainous.
Yes. Yes, that's not Man Bun upset because he doesn't have a man bun anymore. That is the Evil Bucks Media person known as Mr. Tom Jones. So I don't know what's going to happen by having him on, because we're considered Evil Bucks Media from time to time too. But Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, fellas. It's my first time.
Your Tampa Bay Times columnist extraordinaire, Tom Jones. Yes.
That's right. Been doing this a long time. Used to do a terrific job with Rick Stroud on the morning show on 620 WDAE. Official Pewter partners. And anyway, glad you had a chance to join us. You know, Tom, let's just jump right into it. You got beat up pretty bad last year.
You think?
Is that an understatement? You got beat up a little bit last year because you wrote a column, and it was titled Pump the Brakes.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It was a buzzkill, because this is right around the summertime. Hard Knocks
was coming.
Yeah.
Everybody was fired up. They were coming off the 9-7 season. Yeah, and you know, I'll tell you what. It actually goes back to, and I'm probably poking a hornet's nest here. I think it actually went back to the column I wrote about Jameis Winston when he spoke at the school, and I was critical of what he had said there. So the Bucs Nation was already a little bit fired up at me. In fact, I think Scott Reynolds wrote a column about it anyway.
I might have.
You were fair about it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So I think people are already a little bit upset. But what happened was as they came in the last season, there was this good vibe, and they're feeling like, okay, they went 9-7 the year before, they're going to take the next step, Hard Knocks is coming. There was the chic team of the NFL. Everybody was picking, like, there's
the
a
media
team that's
darling, right. National media,
exactly.
Even included.
Somebody's going to make, every year we pick two or three teams that didn't make the playoffs the year before that are going to make the playoffs this year. And the Bucs were always on everybody's list for that. And I just said, hey, just let's hold up one second. A lot of things went right the year before when they went 9-7. And I sort of had this theory, and I still believe in this theory, that a lot of times we see teams in all sports where they're starting to build up, and you think they're ready to take the big next step, and for whatever reason they take a step back.
Yeah.
And then it's the following season when they actually turn out to be pretty good.
Right.
Now, under that theory, the Bucs will be really good this year. But there was something about last year. I wasn't really saying they weren't going to be bad. I was just saying – you know, Jameis is still Jameis. They still have questions on defense. We're not sure they can rush the quarterback. I don't know that they can cover anybody. And a lot of the things that Doug Martin, who knew what you were going to get out of Doug Martin last year.
And so everything you said was right.
Nostradamus. Yeah, and I took no, like, pleasure out of that. I'm just saying that, you know, last year I thought there was a chance they could take a step back, and they did.
It's funny because I just wrote about this in my Fab Five column. I was kind of revisiting that quirky 1998 season that the Buccaneers had. Right. When they had the breakout 97 season, kind of came out of nowhere, made the playoffs, won the last game at Houlihan Stadium, beat the Lions, threatened Green Bay for a little bit up there in the playoffs, and then the Bucs were the media darling the next year. They were the Cinderella team. They were the chic team, as you mentioned.
Right.
And they fell back to 8-8. And that was a much, you know, more talented team that had established stars and Warren Sapp and Hardy Nickerson, Derek Brooks, Mike Alstott, et cetera, work done. And they underachieved. And then the next season, boom, 1999, and they went even higher than people thought.
Right.
And you know, I got caught up in the vortex of defending you on Twitter. In fact, Tom even messaged me, and he's like, "Mark, thanks, but you're just wasting your time.
You're going to get killed too."
But the thing that finally pushed me over the edge is when somebody tweeted like, "No one wants to hear his opinion. Just report the news." And I was like, "Do you understand? He's a columnist. That's what his job is to do. They have beat writers. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But it's a column, and that's his opinion. You don't have to agree with it. He's opening up dialogue. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't agree with it because I was one of those people that drank the Kool-Aid and thought this was going to be a better football team than they were.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of reasons to think that. But my whole thing was whenever I write a column, people think that when I give my opinion, this is what I want to have happen.
Right.
Like, for example, a few weeks
ago,
I picked them to lose to the Bruins. I wasn't hoping they – I didn't care one way or the other whether they lost to the Bruins. I just thought the Bruins were going to win that.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Lightning won didn't make my life any better or any worse.
Sure.
So the same thing with the Bucks last year when I said pump the brakes, I think there was this feeling of this is what I want to have happen.
Right. Yeah.
And it wasn't that way at all. It was just here's what I think might happen.
And when I read my Fab Five column – sometimes when I write things, I don't want them to happen because I see how hard the people in this organization work. I see how long-suffering these fans have been. They want a winner. This city deserves at some point in time, hopefully sooner rather than later, to have the good times come back for this football team. So it's not like anytime I write something critical, it's not that I want that to happen. It's just that I have to redouble my efforts and rededicate myself to not buying into the hype and the Kool-Aid that we often in the media, ourselves included, produce, but to really honestly sit there and say, this is what I think is going to happen.
And both of you guys have seen it, though. See, Scott, you've done this for 25 years. Tom, you've been writing a long time. I don't remember how long in Tampa, but
he's older than
you've seen it. You've seen these things happen. So it's not like, you know, you've seen teams, as you mentioned, Tom, that you think are right on the cusp of greatness, and then they crash and burn and things like that. So, you know, and again, the title of this wasn't the Bucs are going to suck this year. It was just let's just kind of chill a little bit here and pump the brakes on
what's going to happen.
And see what happens.
And I wonder last year, and I don't know how much they'll admit to Dirk Cutter and Gerald McCoy and Jameis Winston and the whole crew, because they're such an optimist, especially Gerald and Jameis, so optimistic all the time. You wonder how much they bought into the hype of last year. And look, some things went wrong. Jameis got hurt. I think that impacted the season a lot. Doug Martin turned out to not to be the Doug Martin that they were hoping for.
Don't tell Raiders fans that.
That's true.
Don't tell John Gruden.
DeSean Jackson probably didn't have the type of year that everybody thought that he was going to have. So I wonder, though, how much they bought into the hype. Like, it was easy to get sucked into. They went 9-7 the year before. They were really a game from, you know, they win the last game. They make, you know, the New Orleans game was the one that killed them. But, you know, they make the playoffs, and all of a sudden you feel much different about this franchise. Then Hard Knocks decides to come here. It's hard. For a moment there, I didn't think they were going to be 5-11.
Right.
As you mentioned, Mark, when I said pump the brakes, I wouldn't say, oh, this team's going to be awful. I'm not going to take credit for them predicting them to go 5-11. I think I said like 8-8. I think I said 9-7.
Right.
And still missed the playoffs because everybody else was so good. But I wonder how much they bought into it, because I bought into it a little bit. Sure.
So what are your thoughts on this year, having watched the OTAs? And granted, it's just flag football, right?
Sure.
It's guys running around in underwear and helmets, catching passes, and there's not much we can see from the offensive line or the defensive line, except for the obvious talent, right? There's a lot of talent on that defensive line. It has to come together. But what are your thoughts heading into this 5-week break here leading into training camp about this team?
I feel much better about this team now than I did a year ago when I wrote the column saying pump the brakes. Now, I'm not going to predict that they're going to make the playoffs or anything like that, only because, look, New Orleans is really good. Atlanta's really good still.
The NFC South is really good.
Yeah, it's probably the best division in football, and certainly all the quarterbacks. Now, we never know what happens, injuries and that sort of thing. But I feel better about this team because I think they've made improvements, as you mentioned, on the defensive line in particular. It's all going to come down – ultimately, it's going to come down to Jameis Winston.
So the push the gas column is coming soon.
Yeah, push the gas. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, hey, I'm writing that. I'm writing that coming up in the Times here. I actually like that line. I'm going to steal it. I do feel better. Again, I don't know if that's going to result in more – you know, I don't win more games than they did a year ago. I'm surprised. Are you guys surprised? Like, I'm seeing some predictions out there where somebody was saying 2-14.
Yeah, I don't see that.
3-13.
I mean, Vegas has got them, what, at 6.5 as the over and under?
I think I'd take the over on that.
Right? Yeah, I think I probably would, too.
They're only favored in two games. Last time I saw in Vegas. I think it's the Browns game and then the home game against Carolina are the only two games I think that they're favored in. There might be one other. Yeah. The Bengals one they might be favored in, too, but that was it. I mean, when you're looking at Vegas, who's trying to make money off of this, and
they know what they're doing,
right? Yeah. They're not in the business of losing money. Right,
exactly.
They've only got them favored in two or three games, which obviously they're going to win more than that. But
pump the brakes again, then I guess.
No, you use my title, by gosh. Push the gay. If you don't, I will. So when you look at this football team, where do you still see some deficiencies at? If you had to pick one unit, we've talked about it a little bit. I felt, and we talked about this actually, I think on last podcast, is the safety position still a little up in the air for me. Is it, what else?
So
what
go ahead, positions? Tom. Be negative. Evil.
Okay, I've got two things. One's going to be Captain Obvious, and the other one's going to be, I think, is going to make people mad. The Captain Obvious one is, I still think they're going to have trouble defending the pass. Mm-hmm. I still think you can throw against this team a lot. I'm still not convinced that they have the defensive backs to shut people down. Now, will they improve with JPP coming in, rushing a quarterback? Mm-hmm. That certainly would help your pass defense, you would think. But I still think they're going to have some issues defending the pass. The other part is Jameis Winston. I know he's what is this, going into his fourth year, right? Or
fourth.
And we have seen no indication whatsoever that he's going to stop turning the football over.
That's right.
And until he proves that he's not going to give the other team the football at the worst possible times, I think there's going to be an issue about whether or not this team can win consistently.
Big question, honest answer. Yeah. Have you seen Jameis Winston a good deal of improvement this offseason? Have you really?
I mean, again, it's football and underwear. Right. No.
Okay, thank you very much, because I said the same thing last week.
But I also say I don't care how he looks out here at practice.
I understand.
We saw Josh McCown look like Tom Brady out
a
few years ago. What happens September 12th or whenever when they go to New Orleans if he's playing in that game? And that's another thing we can bring up in just a second.
Oh, my God, I just aligned myself with Tom Jones. What did I just do?
Well, crap. Here's the thing, though. And this, I think, is part of the problem. I understand what Mark's saying. Look, it's we're talking about not even mini. We're not even talking
training camp. Exactly.
This is mini camp still, which is. But I think too much of the time, like during training camps, we look at it and say, "Well, it's just training camp.
Yeah.
It's just preseason." And he consistently does these things where he turns the football over. And I don't know if that's something that he's ever going to get knocked out of him.
Yeah.
Like if it's going to sink in where you cannot turn the football over, you can't throw the ball there in that situation, or if that's just who he is.
And you know what? I've said this too. I think I'm almost to the point where I believe Dirk Cutter is going to have to game plan around that, the way that Mike Holmgren game planned around Brett Favre's interceptions.
Yeah. I was just going to bring that up. I mean, who's the NFL career leader in interceptions?
It is Brett Favre.
You know, and if Jameis Winston turns out to be a first ballot Hall of Famer and he finishes on top of Brett Favre in interceptions, I think all Buccaneer fans would be real
happy.
Let's
hope he finishes on top of Brett Favre with Super Bowl wins and
but let's look at the Jameis Winston has got to be better. There's no doubt about it. I totally agree with both of you guys on that. But again, when we look at the talent that football team had, and let's be honest, that coaching staff that Mike Holmgren had during that time, I mean, that was a tremendous
star-studded.
I mean, they had Hall of Famers, or at least Pro Bowlers. They had some Hall of Famers, Reggie White and some other guys. I mean, you know, they had a lot of, they were at a higher advantage, or they had a better advantage, I think, than the Buccaneers do the last 3 years. I think this talent level is getting closer to what Brett Favre has. So I'm going to judge Jameis Winston on his progress on how the season goes. And again, it all really comes down to wins. I mean, if Jameis Winston – I mean, look, Doug Williams in 1979 led this team to their first NFC Central title, to the NFC Championship game, and he had 24 interceptions and only 17 touchdown passes, completed 48.2% of his passes that year. They won 10 games. That's ultimately what matters.
Look, Ben Roethlisberger throws the ball away as much as anybody and throws it in other people's hands, and yet the Steelers win football games, and he's judged to be a top, five quarterback probably.
And Marcus Mariota, the counterpart to Jameis Winston, did not have a great year last year, yet the Titans went to playoffs. They beat the Chiefs in Kansas City.
And in an ad narrative, a lot of people are saying right now that they'd rather have Mariota than have Jameis Winston. Here's the thing, though, with Jameis.
Would you take Mariota or Jameis? Right now.
I still think Jameis has more of an upside.
Okay,
I think where Mariota is, that's who he is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see him getting a ton better than where he is now.
Yeah.
I still think there's a chance that Jameis could get way better. Now, here's the thing, with Jameis. If you're Tom Brady right now and I say I'm going to give you I say that and then I remember Rob Gronkowski, but if you gave Tom Brady DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans
Chris Godwin,
Cam Brate and OJ Howard and Cam Brate, that guy would, how many yards would he throw for, how many touchdowns would he throw for? And my point being, Jameis is surrounded by pretty good talent. This isn't like Josh McCown had here,
right?
And I'm not, Josh McCown was there.
Yeah.
But they need to run the ball better.
Yeah.
And their offensive line, I still have major questions about their offensive line. But he has the talent around him to throw the football.
You know, and I was talking to Chidi Honitu last week, former Bucks defensive end, and when I was doing that recap of the quirky 1998 season for the Buccaneers and how they went from playoffs to no playoffs, then, a four-year playoff run that culminated in a Super Bowl, Chidi – And this was 4 or 5 years into Trent Dilfer's career here too in Tampa, and as Warren Sapp said and Chidi said, he was an interception waiting to happen, and that was the message they were trying to get through to him. It's like, we can win with our defense and we can win running the ball, just don't lose the game for us.
Right.
And this is a different style of offense. This is a different time in the NFL now where it's a pass-first league. But my hope is that Dirk Koetter will rekindle a love affair with the running game, and Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones can have some success. And the Jameis Winston's throwing the ball 20 times a game rather than 40. And if that's right. the case, that's 20 less opportunities for something bad to happen.
I think Jameis would easily take a 3,500-yard season over a 4,500-yard season if they, you know, if they run the football.
Right.
If they average 125, 140 yards a game running the football, they do that. You know, defense plays halfway decent, then this is a 500 team or better. And I think, you know, he would easily trade that. There were games in college, you know, where he didn't have that Pittsburgh debut type game, you know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
He beat Trevor's Gators with four interceptions in the first half.
It's
game.
Not
his worst
hard
game
though,
ever.
It was
a complete team game. I'm sorry, Trevor.
Well,
and
I wonder if that experience of Florida State, they were so good, they were better than most of their opponents.
Yeah.
In fact, they were probably better than all their opponents when he was there, with the exception of a couple. And you get in this thing where, okay, if I throw a pick, no big deal, we'll get it back.
Right.
You know, in the NFL, you throw every time you throw an interception, your chances of winning go way down.
Yeah.
Not sure that happens in college. Now, here's the other part of the problem. You hate to, like, completely squelch his competitiveness. He has this ability to not give up on a play, which sometimes is good. I mean, we've seen
the
other quarterbacks.
The perfect example was that Saints game
where
he throws that ball. If Godwin gets tackled at the two-yard line, they lose. I mean, they're very close to being in position to kick a field goal.
Right.
I think to tie it up, maybe. I don't remember the exact. But again, that was the Winston mentality. Then that's the thing that you love about Jameis Winston. But I guarantee you, as he's throwing that ball, Dirk Koetter's saying, what the hell are you doing?
That's right. No. Oh, great.
Yeah.
It's like one of those plays.
Yep.
But so somehow you have to find the balance of, hey, you don't have to give up. And as far as not giving up on plays, you worry about his health at some point too. Now, he seems to be durable. I know he had the issue last year with his shoulder. But overall, I think they have to be happy, certainly much happier than Tennessee is with Marcus Mariota in terms of being available. But you don't want to knock out, like, hey, never throw a risky ball.
Right.
Whenever you're in trouble, go down.
You're
like,
neutering
you don't want
him.
That. Yeah, you don't want to neuter him. Yeah.
I mean, they had Mike Glennon. They don't need another Mike Glennon.
You're right.
I mean,
exactly.
If Jameis misses at least one game, maybe two, three, four, whatever the NFL and their overlords decide, the consequence of and maybe there's evidence, maybe it's just hearsay, whatever, but if the suspension concludes with at least one game suspension for Jameis Winston, can the Buccaneers overcome that? Could they overcome two or three games without him?
Well, I'd feel better about it if I were the Bucs if the schedule was a little bit different. I think they're going to have trouble winning the first couple of games anyway.
With Jameis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So, look, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a reliable veteran. We saw him come in last year. Now, they didn't play great opponents, but he's good enough to – that's all you can ask from your backup. He played three games. He won two of them. You know?
Yeah.
So that's all you expect from your backup. No, it's going to be a blow. I mean, there's certainly a drop-off between – Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
What's your thoughts on this dragging out situation in the NFL? Do you think it's them doing their due diligence? Do you think it's something against Jameis still bringing up his past from college? What's going on?
This is a total guess. I don't know anything. I'm just, I haven't talked to anybody in the NFL office. I haven't talked to any Jameis people. This is my total guess on this. Is the worst thing that can happen, as far as the NFL is concerned, is to say, okay, we really couldn't find anything, so we're not going to suspend him, and then something comes out later.
Yeah.
And they look stupid. I mean, it happened. I mean, they got in trouble in the past with Greg Hardy situation, the Ray Rice situation. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew how that was going to play out until the video came out. I think their biggest fear is, my guess is right now, is they have circumstantial evidence, but they don't have anything concrete or proof.
Right.
This is a total guess on my part. And they don't have enough to say, you know what, he deserves to be suspended. And so they come out and they make an announcement saying, we've investigated, we couldn't substantiate anything, so he's not suspended. And then in 2 weeks, a video pops up.
Yeah.
Or another witness pops up.
Well, that tells me they did a crappy job with their investigation.
But, I mean,
it's
taken this long. I mean, what are they going to find?
What are they going to find
2 months ago that they
didn't know about
last
November?
They didn't
November.
Know already. I mean, still don't understand.
I don't understand that either. Now, I don't know how these investigations work, and I don't know what else. I do know, though, that the NFL doesn't want to be embarrassed by this.
Sure.
And I think, look,
they had no problem clearing Matt Patricia in 11 days.
For an incident that happened a long time
ago.
Ezekiel Elliott dragged out a long time as well. Look, the Brady, that thing dragged out over a year.
Well, and for people to say, well, Jameis isn't going to get suspended, I always bring back the fact they literally suspended the golden boy of the NFL for allegedly deflating, essentially for destroying a cell phone.
Right.
That's essentially what they did it for. Because, I mean, they
look, and Roethlisberger got suspended basically for being a pig.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that he did anything criminally wrong. He was never charged criminally.
Right.
But he acted like a pig. And, and they suspend him because it was because he was a pig.
Conduct,
Yeah, conduct. My other thought with Jameis is, and I'm not saying anything else has ever happened in terms of since he's been in the NFL, but is it a possibility they're looking into other possible event. See, again, this is the worst thing that can happen for them is they don't suspend them and then they find out about another incident that happened. I'm not saying there is one.
Sure.
But I think the NFL, look, and I understand it's dragging out and the fans want to know and Jameis wants to know and the Bucks want to know. I don't know that it's impacted them yet.
Right.
As far what would, if you knew he was going to be out a game or you didn't know he was going to be out a game right now, does that change anything?
Yeah, you just start Fitzpatrick and run the ball and all that. And Jameis has already been through the scrutiny and the microscope before at Florida State. That's one of the reasons why Jason Light will tell you that he liked him over Mariota and that he was going to be the number one overall pick, because look what the guy did with the weight of the world on his shoulders at Florida
State. He was facing before was not that this isn't serious. Don't get me wrong.
But
this is a serious charge.
Without a doubt.
The other one was very serious as well.
Without a doubt. Tom, you have covered this team for a long time, and I know that we're not supposed to have favorites and that type of thing, you know. But when you get to know people and you interview players for your columns and whatnot, just wrapping up here, I just wanted you to kind of share with us and with the listeners, you know, have there been any favorites, guys that you really gravitate towards, guys that you go-to guys for you or players that you've interviewed either on this current team now or in years past that you just really were just utterly impressed with?
There are two people on this current roster that I'm really impressed with. One is Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. I think Mike Evans is a really good person.
Yeah.
I think he's a good guy. I think he's a smart guy.
Agree.
I was impressed, whether you agree or disagree, and I know, Scott, you and I sort of have a different view on this, whether you agree or disagree with his stance a couple of years ago of kneeling during the national anthem, the way he handled it and the way he explained it, you may not like it, but I think you have to respect it.
I totally agree.
I think the way he sort of navigated that whole situation was very impressive.
Showed a great deal of maturity.
He did.
For the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
The other guy that I have a tremendous amount of respect for is Gerald McCoy. Mm-hmm. And I know there's this narrative out there that fans want to blame him for, and sometimes I get tired of Gerald talking.
Yeah.
Like, just go out and do it. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Go out and do it. But I do appreciate the fact that he does give time to the media. Mm-hmm. And if you were to list 500 reasons why the Bucks have been bad over the past decade, the name Gerald McCoy would not be on that list ever. And yet it's funny that we point to him and say he's the reason they're not winning more football games.
That's interesting.
I think that, you know, again, whether the Bucks win or lose doesn't matter to me, but if they ever – one of the good things if they do win someday is I think Gerald will finally get credit for the tremendous football player that he's been over the past 9 years.
How about some of the Bucks from yesteryear? Any of those guys that some of our longtime listeners?
Well, Tony Dungy is obviously one of the nicest human beings in the world. Tony Dungy is one of those guys where you spend like a half hour with him and you walk away and like, what am I doing with my life, man?
I know,
this guy is such a good guy. You just feel like you should go to church right after you get done talking to Tony.
Talking to Tony, you feel like you've been to church,
right? You've
been
to church, exactly. So, and yet it's funny, like, I'm a Gruden guy, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's probably the opposite. Of,
not that John Gruden's the devil.
No. But I mean, when I think of Tony Dungy, I think of hanging out in church. When I think of John Gruden, I think of going to Hooters, drinking beers. And as far as players go, I mean, there have been – I've gotten to know Mike Allstott pretty well because he coaches at my son's former school. My son just graduated. But, I was called him Mark Allstott.
Mark Allstott. That's great.
You are a Gruden guy.
But, yeah, I am a Gruden guy.
You are Evil Puts Media.
But I'm a big – I liked Allstott.
All right, then tell
Derek
us.
Derek Brooks is another one.
Yeah. Then what we really want to know is which players you hate the most. You know, which ones have you hated?
I'm kidding.
We're not going to put you on the spot.
There's a couple guys that I've had issues with over the years. Now, I haven't had Sapp.
Yeah.
Sapp's a guy that I always looked at as a bully a little bit. Now, I've never had any personal I didn't cover the Bucks when Sapp was here. I was in Minnesota for part of that time. But I, you know, I think he picks on people because he can, and I never liked that about him. Yeah. Tremendous player. Look, as good a defensive lineman as I've ever seen. And can be funny and can be very engaging and very charismatic. And he wouldn't know me if I ran into him right now. Mm-hmm. But I didn't always like the way he treated people.
Yeah. It settled the debate then between Scott and I. This is the ongoing debate. The best Buck ever, Brooks or Sapp?
Derek Brooks.
Sapp, not even close.
Most decorated, most hallowed player. More Pro Bowls, more decorations, was on the same Super Bowl team. The godfather of the Buccaneers.
Biggest impact changer in this franchise's history.
I love Warren Sapp, and I love how he willed this team to win. He ruled this team with an iron fist at a time it needed the iron fist.
And he could be an asshole, and he could be a jerk and a bully.
There's no doubt
about
it.
He worked his ass off in practice, too. He wasn't a guy. He held guys accountable out there on the practice field.
He loved practice. He was a fire starter.
It's like, you know, what's better?
Charlize Theron.
What's better, a ribeye or a T-bone? Like, they're both.
New York Strip.
Really good.
Yeah.
New York Strip. But I hate to say this. I think I would go with Sapp. I think Sapp would be the guy. And the only reason is because I think...
Trevor, just edit this part out, please.
No, I think Sapp played a position that it's much tougher to find those guys than it is to find a linebacker.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean... I think he was such a leader on this team, Derek Brooks was, and he was sort of a face of a franchise. And, again, everything that Mark just said about, you know, Sapp could be a jerk and could be difficult to deal with. But I think he was one of those guys that was... You know, I compare him to, and I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I know a lot of, you know, when I talk about the Steelers and all that, but Joe Green was a guy. He reminds me of Joe Green. And Lambert was a huge part of that team.
Right.
Jack Ham was, but I always saw
and you know what?
Green as sort of being the leader of that defense.
I will say that I think Derek Brooks is the best Buccaneer of all time, but if you're asking me the question, draft the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who the first pick is, I probably draft Warren Sapp because of the mentality and the position he played
he plays
and all of that, too. He's closer to the football.
Stroud and I have talked about this before, about who's the greatest athlete in the history of Tampa Bay sports.
Simeon Rice is up there for me.
Well, I mean, not
I've
just
never
as
seen
far,
an athlete like
no,
that.
No, I mean, not as far as like who's like who'd win like a strongman competition or who'd win like
Warren Sapp.
Superstars.
Yeah.
Warren Sapp was one of the best athletes.
Yeah. But I mean, as far in terms of like who had the biggest impact, whose career, the best.
Okay.
Sports star of Tampa Bay history.
Brent Abernathy of the Devil Race.
And I would say, I mean, really it would come down, and there's always three that it comes down to Sapp, Brooks, and Marty St. Louis are the three guys that I always think of as being the greatest Tampa Bay sports athlete.
Right.
Look, you can't go wrong either way with Sapp.
No, you can't. And listen, you could easily throw Leroy Selman in that equation too. I mean, a guy who you know, played on an awful, awful team for the first three years, you know what I mean, and ended up in the Hall of Fame.
Last question for you.
Yeah.
We appreciate your time.
Sure.
You've covered Tony Dungy, John Gruden here. You've also covered Raheem Morris, Greg Schiano, Lovie Smith, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
The great and the awful, however you want to categorize it. Where does Dirk Cutter fit into the mix, and what is your level of confidence as he heads into year three as a head coach and as a play caller on Sundays?
I think he's a I like Dirk Cutter. I was – When they,
I don't know that he likes you, but
no, I don't know that he likes you. I think he goes hot and cold
like
on
any
me.
Of us.
He goes hot and cold on me.
Yeah.
I've had some run-ins with him, but I've also had some nice conversations with him too.
I
like him. I think he's the right guy for the job right now. I think they made the right call when they got rid of Lovie.
Yeah.
I thought Lovie, that was a weird.
It was.
Regime. I thought it was going to go way better.
Quickly.
It did, and I thought it was going to go way better.
Because
than
he
did.
Had his son with no experience coaching safeties.
it was pretty bad.
That was part of the problem. But I think Lovie came in and put his feet up on the handlebars. That's what I got the feeling. I like Dirk. I think he's a pretty good play caller. I think he's limited in some of the things he can do with this team because they can't run the football, and I don't know that that's his fault. But overall, I do think he's the right guy for the job. I was all on board with bringing him back after last season, even though they went 5-11. And he knows what he's doing. Sometimes you look at coaches, and there are some coaches, and I'm not going to name.
Sam Weish.
Yeah, where at times they seemed overwhelmed. Like,
yeah.
Is this guy, should he be in charge of this team? Richard Williams, some people like that.
Yeah.
But I look at Dirk Cutter, and he looks like a head coach to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, he feels like a guy who – He knows what he's doing. He knows how to motivate players. I was impressed with Hard Knocks. That was the one thing I took from Hard Knocks
insight,
last year.
Wasn't it?
Is that I think the players respect him.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know who likes Dirk Cutter, even if I jokingly say we don't in the media. That's not true. We don't like him, dislike him, whatever. He is what he is.
I like him.
He's the coach. He's fine.
Guy, yeah.
But these players do. I was at an event last week, as a matter of fact, talking to one of the prominent offensive players and kind of jokingly said, you know, we were joking that, you know, Dirk doesn't like us, you know what I mean? And so I was like kind of off the record, you know, what's your thoughts? And he goes, I like the hell out of that guy. I really do. Yeah. You know, yeah, he can be a jerk sometimes or, you know, whatever, but we really like the guy. We respect the guy.
That
made me think to myself that, yes, okay, then he is the right guy for this team, because that's important. Liking and respecting are two different things. This team loved Raheem Morris.
Sure.
Right? I don't know how many of them respected Raheem
Morris. No, because he was their buddy.
Right.
You know, and I look at, you know, when I look at Dirk Cutter, I think he talks to them like men.
Yep.
Treats them like men. He doesn't treat them like kids. Like, you know, Shiano looked like he was coaching a college team at the time.
Yeah.
Which
youth league,
you know,
team.
Yeah, exactly. And yet, but I think Dirk Cutter works with the players. I don't think he's overly demanding, but I also think he holds people accountable. So overall, now I know there are questions about his play calling and about clock management and that sort of thing, but I think he has the right people in place as assistants. I like his hires there. So overall, yeah, I mean, he's not, you know, on the list of all-time Bucks, you know, I still have Gruden at the top.
He's
with
in the
Don
middle.
G
and right,
yeah, he's right in the middle. Yeah. I mean, he's not, you know, John McKay, and then he probably falls in somewhere after that.
Speaking of holding people accountable, we appreciate you holding these Buccaneers accountable, Tom, for the Tampa Bay Times. And
you're not nearly as evil as I thought you were going to be.
Yeah, I know.
Now,
he's
granted,
nice
when
guy.
He walks out, he's probably going to go kick a baby or a puppy or something like that.
That's right, yeah.
But you're not as evil as we thought you were. I'm just kidding. Yeah. We knew you weren't evil.
Thanks,
appreciate
fellas.
Your time very much. Where can people find you on Twitter?
At Tom W. Jones. And you can also write me at tjones@tampabay.com.
And will you reply?
I do.
There
I
you
usually
go.
Do
See?
Reply. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love watching Tom Jones' Twitter.
I don't troll
go.
Or anything,
good.
But I, yeah, it's
they're
fun.
Good. I like people just lose their minds. The Bruins thing was another classic.
Oh,
thank you for doing that. It entertained me many nights during the Lightning playoffs.
So entertaining for me. But thanks.
Anyway,
thanks, fellas.
Absolutely a pleasure. Thank you very much.
That was Tom Jones of the Tampa Bay Times. We appreciate him joining us. We've got just a couple minutes left to go in this podcast. Guys, it was a hot one out there today. I'm going to need a cold, refreshing beverage. Are you, Scott?
Yeah, I need a beer and a burger. Where can I go for that?
I have no idea. Trevor, do you have any idea where maybe we could find a nice cold beverage and a good burger in the Tampa Bay area in multiple locations, including now in Lakeland?
You know, if I was looking for a really great burger and some good happy hour specials, specifically a drink called an Angry Ginger, I'd probably head over to Forest Garage.
Ah, why didn't I think of that?
There you go.
It's
and
a
you
brilliant
know what?
Place.
What's coming up this Sunday? Father's Day. Where else would you want to take Dad? And I'm hoping that my kids are listening to this too. Other than Ford's Garage.
Well, church. But other than church, then Ford's Garage. So go to church, then go take your dad out and get him lit. I mean, not lit, but buy him a beer at Ford's Garage. I mean, that's a great present. You know, we were talking to Gerald McCoy earlier, and somebody asked him about Father's Day, and he said, what I want is just 2 hours of peace and quiet away from my 15 kids. And and I can relate, and I only have one. But you know what I would love? I would love somebody to take me to Ford's Garage, buy me a burger, buy me a beer, buy me an Angry Ginger. Multiple locations, countryside. Brandon, they are now in Lakeland. They've got
St. Petersburg
location now. Wesley Chapel, the one that Scott and I frequent a lot. So make sure to go check out Ford's Garage. Let them know that Pewter Report sent you. And thank them for sponsoring this Pewter Nation podcast. Well, guys, we've about wrapped up the off season. Now, just to let all our readers know, over the next 6 weeks, Pewter Report will not have any stories up whatsoever. We're all going to the Caribbean on a Pewter Report retreat. Hedonism.
Is that not true? No, that's not the case.
That's not?
No, we're still going to have daily stories on PewterReport.com.
Oh, yeah.
Still going to have weekly podcasts.
Yep. Going to have the Fab Five. We're going to have the podcast.
Monday Mailbag.
Trevor's Cover 3. And we're going to have some other neat little series and things like that. I was thinking about something earlier today. I won't mention it on the podcast now, but I've got another idea for a little summer series that we're going to do. So make sure to check out PewterReport.com. Stick around. We're going to take a little bit of time off. What are you planning on doing this when we got this little 5-6 week break, Trevor? What's your game plan?
Working.
Come on. You're not going anywhere?
No.
I guess when you're 27 and you live in South Tampa,
that
you're on vacation every day. every day you're on vacation,
it's
aren't
true.
You?
It's true. I live two blocks from South Howard at all the bars. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, I could do my work, and somebody could be, it could be like 10:55 at night, and they're like, hey, we're going to Soho. I'm like, okay. And I just walk over there. There's no planning. There's no nothing.
No, you don't even need to Uber. That must be nice.
No, I don't. I literally just walk there. It's fantastic.
Well, I'll be moving in with Trevor this summer. Scott, what's your summer plans?
I've already moved in with Trevor, so we're looking forward to having
you. Oh, cool. It's going to be like the Ryan Griffin, Cam Braid, Adam Humphreys man pad. We should do that. Kick your roommate out and invite me and Scott in.
No.
Oh, you see too much of us already. What? You don't want the 47 and the 46-year-old guy trailing behind
in
the bars?
I'm the 46-year-old guy, for the record.
So, you know, for now. But anyway, you're going to catch me soon because I'll die. But anyway, well, I've got a little beach vacation planned up starting on Sunday for a few days. My son's at football camp down in Miami right now. And when he gets back, we're going to go down to the beach for a few days, do a little snook fishing. A little food. I'm gonna tan this body. Got me a brand new banana hammock thong that I'll be wearing. So if people want to come see me, I'll be down at Anna Maria Island.
On your boat, right?
Yeah, on my boat. And I'm kidding about the banana hammock. I would never wear one of those.
You're kidding about the boat. You don't have a boat.
I don't have a boat either, but I have a friend that has a boat. Well, and guess where my friend takes his boat to get all of his service work done?
Well, there's only one place to go, so it'd have to be T.A. Mahoney's.
T.A. Mahoney's is right. Scott, you win. You can pass go and collect $200. Good answer on that. T.A. Mahoney's is your one-stop shop. Yeah, one-stop shop for all of your marine needs, not just boating. I mean, if you've got fishing plans like I do, I'll be stopping by T.A. Mahoney's tomorrow afternoon to pick up some gear, get some more Power Pro to spool up the reels.
And hook Dad up for Father's Day.
That's another great place, too. Go to T.A. Mahoney's, get Dad some great gear. Even if he doesn't have a boat, I mean, they've got great apparel. They've got virtually everything. In fact, not virtually everything. If they don't have it, there's no need to keep looking because they don't make it. TAMahoneyCo.com on the internet. Stop by their showroom located on Adamo between Tampa and Brandon on the north side of Highway 60 there. Go see Mike. Go see Matt. Tell them Pewter Report sent you. Go check them out and pick up something for Dad for Father's Day. They're open on Saturday. And if you do have a boat and you need some stuff done to it, T.A. Mahoney's is the place to go. They can re-rig lighting. They can install power poles, ignition switches, take a look at your engines, all of those things that you need to be ready for, because there's nothing worse than getting out on the water and the boat not running or you getting stuck out to sea. Because I remember this movie called Jaws one time. And, you know, make sure you go to T.A. Mahoney's so you don't have this large great white shark attack your boat. T.A. Mahoney's can guarantee you that a great white shark will not take your boat down.
And we've
like
got some
Jaws.
Breaking news. As we're taping this on Thursday afternoon after the conclusion of the Bucks mandatory minicamp, Ronald Jones, second round pick, has signed with the team, so there will be no training camp holdouts.
Jesus, you scared the crap out of me.
The entire
I thought you were going to say Ronald
rookie
Jones
class.
Had his knee amputated or something.
No. All right. He's signed an under contract. So everybody's signed and will report to training camp.
Very good, very good. All right, we'll be back next week. Again, there's nothing going on at One Buccaneer Place. It's going to be a ghost town for the next 5 or 6 weeks. We're eagerly awaiting the training camp schedule. It seems to always break when I'm on vacation, Trevor, and it always seems to break when Scott is busy. So I usually spend one vacation, a couple hours, putting out the training camp schedule.
Why should that change this year?
Because we have Trevor now.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have to do it. Thank you, Lord. So anyway, but that should be coming out pretty soon. Normally about this time of the year, we'll get that training camp schedule. We get a lot of questions on Twitter about that. So, but as soon as we get that, we'll pass that data along to you. Anything else, guys?
Want to thank Tom Jones for stopping by. That was a treat.
It absolutely was. And most importantly, it kept Trevor off the microphone, so it made my day a lot better. I shouldn't say that. Trevor's a big part of this podcast. Anyway.
He's a huge part of the podcast.
For Trevor Sikkema, formerly known as the Man Bun, now known as Chrome Done, Uncle Fester, whatever you want to call him, anything but Man Bun, and Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, saying we'll see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.